Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol live on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. We have a couple of interns here. Connell McCourt, known as Connell the Irish intern. Jake calls him Lucky. Mean Mug the intern, known in real life as Michael DiMaggio, representing the Northland. He is also here giving Nate dirty looks for the next 4 hours, which is the reason why he's going to make it in this world. And right now, we will...
kids are after me, Lucky Charm.
Gonna put my attention span to the test, as right now ESPN has decided to broadcast the WBO welterweight championship of the world live on ESPN. As I watch this and do a show, if you remember Jeff Horn from Australia, who upset Manny Pacquiao in a fight that many people thought he did not win. It was a close fight, but most people thought Manny Pacquiao won. I thought it was hilarious that Manny Pacquiao did not get the decision after he was gifted three decisions against Juan Manuel Marquez. And anyone that unbiasedly watched those fights and judged those fights, even though I was biased, knows that Marquez deserved the decision in each one of those fights. Until Marquez took the decision out of the judge's hands and knocked Manny Pacquiao into next week. Literally. He woke up and it was next week.
Wow.
And so, you know, that was 5 years ago. Last week, that was the five-year anniversary when I watched that fight. One of the greatest fights and most satisfying victories that these eyes have ever seen. And so now, Jeff Horn defending that WBO welterweight title that he won against Manny Pacquiao. He's fighting a fighter from London named Gary Corcoran. And if you're wondering, well, who's that? Exactly. This is supposed to be a build-up fight for Jeff Horn in his native Australia, live on ESPN. They're going to replay this later so people that aren't up this early can watch it. But the end game here is the guy that I've told you I think is the best fighter in the world, straight out of Omaha, Nebraska, Terrence Bud Crawford. Right now, the most popular athlete in all of Nebraska, and one of the most popular fighters in the world right now. And like I said, I think he's number one pound for pound. He will fight the winner of this as he moves up to welterweight. That would happen sometime in March or April. I would like it to be in Omaha so I could attend. But I think it will be in Vegas. But it could be in Australia, too. And who knows, maybe New York. I don't know. But it'll be on ESPN as the Top Rank deal with Top Rank Boxing and ESPN continues to bear fruit for boxing fans. And look, if you're a real boxing nut and you're sitting there, oh, I don't know what to do. You got boxing now in the morning. You got it in the afternoon. You got it in the night. And I'll keep you updated on what's going on as you watch us on 38 The Spot. Thank you for watching us. Thank you for participating in the show today. We've got lots of stuff to talk about with Mike DeCourcy, our college basketball insider from the Sporting News. He'll join us at 8:05. And then the lovely and talented Jared Sutton, who does it all, really, when it comes to college basketball. He scouts. He provides color commentary on SEC Network. He does a little bit of everything. Former player at Mizzou, but scouts for the NBA, and like I said, does a great job of color commentating for SEC Network. He will be on the show with us in the 9 o'clock hour to talk all things college basketball, because Wednesday it's hump day. It's kind of the calm before the storm before we really kick it into the next gear for our Chiefs coverage for the Saturday night showdown between the Chiefs and the Chargers. Nate Bucati is going to head out to Arrowhead Stadium today to have a sit-down with Albert Wilson. Albert Wilson has had enough of Nate's nonsense, so I've had to put together a sit-down and they're going to have at it in a conference, a private conference room at an Arrowhead Stadium. And so we will find out what that that ends up turning into tomorrow on the show. So, Nate, I know that you've touted Albert Wilson. You were excited about his return to the offense. He scored a touchdown, even though it wasn't a loss in his first return. He also had the bizarre play where I think it was it Tim and Tyreek Hill were both running the same route.
Yep.
You know, try to be the same person and do the same things, mm-hmm. which was confusing for Alex Smith and for all the fans. But then Albert Wilson comes up with one of the catches of the year for any Chiefs player, right? Mm-hmm. That's right up there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've seen some good ones, but that's got to be at least top five. That was one hell of a throw and a catch as he had a nice, productive day against the Oakland Raiders last week. And so I'm looking forward to hearing your conversation with Albert Wilson that will play on the show tomorrow. I can't be there because I'm going to be hosting a lunch remote today at Pega's Family Restaurant, K7 and Johnson Drive. Jake, ever heard of it? Is that anywhere that, is that on your radar? Can you tell me?
Shawnee, baby.
Yeah?
No.
Shawnee.
Yeah.
So I would expect a lot of fine Border Patrol listeners in that area, K7 and Johnson Drive and Shawnee, to show up, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Hang out.
Promise you there'll be fine listeners in Shawnee.
What about $12 dinner platters for $5?
Can't beat it.
Can you find a way to put that on your schedule?
It's more than 50% off.
I think he's right.
Yeah. For one?
I don't know.
Yeah, it is. Is it? Just a little bit. Because half of 12 is 6. Or at least that's what I was told.
Not too early for boxy. Way too early for those kind of numbers. I don't.
Six.
Now my head
in
hurts.
In one, half a dozen in the other?
You know what? It sounds right. It sounds. So
that's less than that. That's $5 for a $12 meal.
But what I can promise you is, unless you are what they call a heifer like me, if anyone with a normal appetite, this is good for two meals. All right? This is good for two meals. For someone like me, this is scratching the surface, you know? Then you're looking for a maybe a piece of cake. Right? A slice of pie, all right? Or just a scoop of ice cream. I don't know, something. Point is, you come out there and get a delicious dinner platter. They've got so much to choose from. Normally $12, just $5 today at all the Pegas locations. P-E-G-A-H-S is how you spell it. Four locations. I'm going to be K7 Johnson Drive in Shawnee from 11 until 1. That's 11 until fun. Come out and see me today. And that's why Nate will be solo out at Arrowhead Stadium, and that's why he is so excited. Just can't wait to get out there and have at it with Albert Wilson. I'm looking forward to that. I'm glad Albert Wilson has started to produce.
Yeah, I had his best game of the year Sunday. Five or six catches, you know. They need him. And I'm looking forward to talking to him as well, man. This is we keep talking about it, but this is a big game on
Saturday
night.
Is it?
Yeah.
What's on the line?
I'd say the division is, in my opinion.
Anyone wake up feeling any better about this matchup? Any worse? Any change in your opinion of what's going to happen on Saturday night? Still the same?
I don't know, man. I think I'd go back and forth on this one. And that's why I guess the line's only 1 or 2 points, depending on where you look, you know? A lot of people probably doing the same thing.
Right.
I'm worried about it. I'm worried about the matchups. But I think the Chiefs have a chance. You know, they have a good chance. I think it's going to be a close game.
I think it's going to be a fantastic game. We'll come down right to the fourth quarter. We've seen some remarkable games that have come down to the last possession between the Chiefs and the Chargers the past few years.
We've seen some bizarre endings.
I mean, throughout the years, we've seen some bizarre endings. But it seems like when the Chiefs play the Chargers at Arrowhead Stadium, buckle your seatbelt in the fourth quarter and maybe even into overtime. Right?
Now, why would you have a seatbelt in the stands?
Just to make sure you're safe.
Yeah, so you don't think you stand crazy. Up or anything?
You don't want to fall down like I do quite a bit. I believe
I was with you at a Chiefs-Chargers game when you fell down the stairs on a Dexter McCluster punt return.
That was the Pioli era,
yeah,
wasn't it?
The Dex Factor, we thought.
Is that the old Halloween game?
I don't think so.
That was the season opener, opening night, the late Monday night game.
Yep.
Remember that one?
Is that the fumbled snap?
I don't know.
I think that was the Halloween night. The fumbled snap was Halloween night.
Getting them all mixed up.
Yeah.
Was that when Alex Smith scored the touchdown in overtime?
Nope.
Was that back when Tamarick Vanover returned that punt?
Was that when Cairo Santos hit that game-winning field goal?
Was that when Stan Humphries threw the touchdown pass?
Is that when old Fauci baby? Two for 400?
Was that when the Chiefs couldn't stop Marion Butts and Rod Bernstein?
Marion Butts, man. Right. I like that. That's a good call.
I like Rod
right
Bernstein.
There. Oh, man.
Remember that Full House back here?
Yeah.
Natron Means?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
By any
Natron
means
business.
Right. That's a walk down memory lane. So we will... We'll talk about that game and play some clips from Andy Reid and Alex Smith today on the show. So we've got all kinds of good stuff for you planned. There was a really good column by Vahe Gregorian. And so I called Jake last night. I was half asleep. Were you half asleep or did you have all of your faculties available?
I think I'm trying to think when you called.
Because I sent you a couple of text messages. I said, you know what? Maybe he's not going to see him. And I get mad when people assume, if it's important, I get mad if people just assume they see my text message. I see a text message like after 9:30 or 10. I might be out. I might be out like a light.
Nope.
And so
I was up.
I said, okay, let me call him. I wasn't harassing you. I just wanted to call you because
I was actually in the sauna when you called.
Oh, that's fine. Wait, you know, that's good. All right.
You're going to sweat
and
in.
So, yeah.
Got my swell
did
on.
Did you have a cigar?
No.
Smoking a cigar and
no.
Making a deal about
my,
with anyone.
My athletic club does not allow smoking inside.
Change it. Start a petition.
Talk to Will Shields about that.
And so I called Jake. I said, hey, if you can, contact Vahe Gregorian for me, and let's get him on the show to talk about this, because it was really good.
You know, I'm not sure I want to talk to Vahe Gregorian right now,
well,
to be honest with you.
Well, that's the other thing that we wanted to talk to him about. We wanted to get to the bottom of why he did not invite Sam Mellinger to the Kansas City Star Sports Department Christmas party.
So Starting to wonder if it had something to do with us.
Well, we go right to the source and find out. And so,
I feel like if you snub Sam Mellinger, you're snubbing us.
Right.
You know?
Well, what?
And it could be that he snubbed Sam Mellinger because of us.
Again, that's why we go to the source.
Yeah.
And so there's several things that I want to talk to Vahe about. And Vahe said he's going to come on the show Thursday or Friday.
Yeah, it's looking like Friday might be a little more open.
But he actually took your call. I mean, he actually responded. And
yeah, right
interacted
away.
With you.
I mean,
you didn't see that yet.
As soon as I got it, I was like, if I can get it in, I tend to not to bother people after 10 p.m.
Right.
So I was like, oh, I got about 15 minutes here.
That's why I said, 9:39, I better tell you.
I can get it in before 10.
Mm, well,
that's my motto.
But he was receptive. He didn't say, who's this?
No.
My name's Johnny Gregorian. I don't know who you are. That'd be weird. But anyway, he wrote, with or without Michael Porter Jr., Konzo Martin keeps Mizzou in the present. Had some really good quotes from Konzo Martin. But one of the reasons why he wrote this is Mizzou Twitter was on fire yesterday. Because apparently on a radio station in St. Louis on 590 AM, there's an orthopedic surgeon, Rick Lehman, who is well known just throughout sports and throughout the country as one of the best. He's in the Missouri Sports Hall of Fame. He's treated the likes of Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods. So I'm assuming if you treated Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods, your reputation is good. I feel like those guys would you know, they just don't, you know, show up and, okay, who does my insurance cover? Okay, just go this guy. What's his name?
Did you take Blue Cross?
Right, I feel like there'd be some recommendations involved. But he was on 590, and he was talking about Michael Porter Jr. And said that, well, basically he said that he thought that he'd be back. This season, and he's not treating Michael Porter Jr. And he said I have to get the actual quote, but he said it's more than just a guess, just alluding that he had information, you know. And that's you know, the fragile state of mind for Missouri fans when it comes to this. Hey, you're gonna see one of the greatest players ever to play at Mizzou, maybe the greatest player ever to play at Mizzou, Here's a build-up. Can't wait to see it. First night, 2 minutes. Now you're never going to see him in a uniform. How do you like that? And now Instagram post, maybe you'll see him in a uniform. How about that? And then Will Carroll came on the show. As now you're never going to see him. He's like up and down and all around. And so it just now it seems like maybe it's possible. And so he had some comments, and he talked to Vahid Gregorian. And I tell you what, we'll take a break, and we'll talk about those and what he said. And I want to get your reaction to this because I don't know. It's just a lot for me. I'm in a very fragile emotional state when it comes to this because I don't know what to believe, who to believe, how to believe it.
A glass case of emotions.
Exactly right. So I'm just trying to handle myself appropriately, which I've done a lot of experience doing it over the years. Take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38th Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. As I mentioned, we have a WBO welterweight title fight between champion Jeff Horn and Gary Corcoran, the challenger. The winner will defend the title against Terrence Bud Crawford, the best fighter in the world pound for pound right now. You know what? Him, Triple G, Canelo, Lomachenko, you know, I'll put them in a group in the top five, and you tell me that your pick is one of those, and I've got no problem with you. But I like Bud Crawford. I just think he's the most complete fighter that I've seen right now. And you don't need to watch it because we have, like during the NCAA tournament, we do live listen-ins. Yeah. We're going to do a live listen-in with Jake Pounders, who is keeping his eye on the fight, and as you know, that spent a lot of time in Australia. Let's hear what Jake Pounders has to say right now, and a live listening from the eighth round.
Roy, looks like Horn here. I can't.
Oh, boo!
Corcoran.
I like that one. I like you said Horn.
Horn here.
That was really good play-by-play.
Give us some more. I want more.
Horn here with a clean right.
Right.
Clean right, and Corcoran, deflecting body shot.
What happens, like, if it's a, like, what's your call if there's, like, a knockdown, if there's a big punch landed?
Oh, vicious uppercut by Horn.
What is it, like, crikeys? Or like,
crikey. Put another shrimp on the bobby.
Oh, there we go. I like that.
That's definitely what they say when a guy gets knocked down.
Right. And there.
Fosters.
Yeah.
Subaru.
How about say Horn, Australian for knockout, but do it like the Fosters.
Horn, Australian for knockout. Hey.
Now, see, that's actually good.
Yeah.
You could send that demo tape in.
Corcoran maybe gets knocked to the mat like he just pounded 12 Fosters.
Oh, what? See, that's good, too. See? You have to warm up.
You're punishing the listeners
but here's
of
the deal.
Kansas City.
Nothing that he said just now happened in the fight. Not one thing that he said actually took place. There was no vicious uppercut. There was no knockdown.
No one hit the mat.
Nothing happened. I'm sure there's some people drinking Fosters watching the fight. That was accurate, but
probably.
I don't.
Crikey.
Did it feel like you were at the fight? Just
I closed my eyes and I thought I was in Australia.
Roy, just at the fight.
And right now, after eight rounds, I believe the fans are winning the fight, really. And so I was talking about this column from Vahid Gregorian, and one of the reasons he wrote it is on St. Louis radio station 590, orthopedic surgeon Rick Lehman was on and was asked about Michael Porter Jr., and he said that based on 30 years of seeing such injuries, he'd expect the recovery time to be more like 6 to 8 weeks, and Porter should be able to play sooner than expected. And again, as Vahe writes, Lehman's not just a guy. He's in the Missouri Sports Hall of Fame, treated the likes of Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods. And so Vahe has a good relationship with him because you remember Vahe was in St. Louis for quite some time. And he said, I go back decades with him, having interviewed him in the past in his capacity as team physician for the St. Louis Blues and working with Jackie Joyner-Kersee at the 1996 Olympics, so he gave him a call. And so here's what Vahe wrote, and this is why so many Missouri fans are getting goofy over this, what he said. He said, after noting that he was not treating Porter, but saying he had information he could not elaborate on that helped support his contention, he expanded on his point. So he's telling you, hey, I'm not treating him, but I've got basically inside info, which I don't know how the Porter family or anyone else or Mizzou feels about this guy going on the radio and claiming that he has inside info, and because of his connections and who he is, it's likely that he does. I mean, how do you, is that, what do you think of that?
I mean, it seems like he's talking to the family.
Or just, or I don't know, another doctor?
Yeah, maybe.
I feel like they probably know each other. I mean
that's illegal technically, but
right. Like, maybe. I don't know if he's talking to the family. I don't know if the family, maybe they do. I don't know, but I would think the family doesn't want that out, or maybe someone that he, who, anyway. There you go. It leads to speculation, and so after Vahe talked to him, he had these quotes. And he said he called the injury pretty common, adding there had been no fusion or implanting of an artificial disc. Lehman said all indications are that the recovery should be consistent with what he's seen repeatedly over several decades, 6 to 8 weeks after the surgery. And this is the quote, "I don't think fairy dust came in my eyes. I've just never seen anyone take 3 months to come back from this. I think he's going to play this year, and I think he's going to be a meaningful part of the team. I really believe he's going to be able to contribute to the level he would have been able to contribute absent the back injury." But then he also did say, well, the family might say, why let him get hurt playing college basketball when there's a big payday in his future? And I can understand that. And there might be some politics at Mizzou that I don't know about. I can understand that. But he's saying from a medical standpoint that the projection of him being out 3 to 4 months was extremely conservative and erring on the side of caution. But I've heard more than a few people say that. And there was room in the release. They gave themselves some wiggle room, expected to be out for the year. You know, and that's really all we've heard. And that's it.
And then the cryptic post from Michael Porter Jr. himself. I mean, I think you put that on top of this comment.
That's what started everything.
Surgeon. Yeah. That's what I take. I mean, that to me is more significant than anything else.
The Instagram, the post you're talking about is when Michael Porter Jr. said, "Just letting y'all know, whoever said it was going to take 3 to 4 months to recover lied," with two wink smile emojis.
Like that.
So, do you think he's going to play yes or no?
Yeah. I do.
You're lying to me. To make me feel better.
That post, I mean, because I would go back to the idea that, yeah, I think the family could decide, nah, we're just going to shut it down. We don't want to take any chances. There's no reason. But if he's posting things like that, that tells me that he does want to play. And all the indications we have is that he wants to play for Missouri. He didn't go to Missouri just because he had to go somewhere for a year. He wants to make an impact for Missouri.
His little brother reclassified. Yeah. So he could play with him this year.
Right. And we know he tried to help talk other players into come playing at Missouri.
His dad's an assistant coach.
Yeah. So,
who declined to be interviewed for this column by Vahe Grigorian.
Not surprising.
Hey, Michael Porter Sr., can I ask you some questions? Nope. All right, then.
Thank you.
Right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's the proper response from Michael Porter Sr.
Yeah.
But also, like you mentioned, how you have grown to like Konzo Martin. I would invite you to read some of the quotes and comments that he gave Vahe Grigorian. Vahe is a great writer anyway, but it was really, really good. And especially like following up our conversation we had about Konzo yesterday. Again, more quotes and more thoughts from Konzo that make you like him even more. So, interesting stuff for Mizzou fans and basketball fans to read from Vahe Grigorian today in the Star. And we'll talk to him about it coming up on Thursday or Friday. We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati. Again, you can come out and see me at Pega's Family Restaurant. K7 and Johnson Drive in Shawnee. I'm there from 11 until 1. But this delicious lunch special, all the $12 dinner platters are only $5. At all four Pegas locations, PEGAHS. Yeah. So come out and get a lot of food for not a lot of money. And we've got prizes to give away. Isn't that wonderful? All right. All right, Nate. Yes. Bill Snyder.
Yeah.
I know that you are involved in this bizarre text message group with a bunch of K-State fans, and that's how you regularly check the pulse of Wildcat Nation. Is that right?
Yep.
And so there were several reports yesterday that came out that Bill Snyder, and I think most everyone thought he was going to come back anyway, but several reports out there saying that Bill Snyder indeed is coming back. I'm looking at kstateonline.com, four separate sources now confirmed to kstateonline.com that Bill Snyder plans to return to coach Kansas State in 2018. What's been the reaction of the K-State fans that you harass on a daily basis?
Well, the first reaction I got was they sent me an article that was at yahoosports.com, posted by Pete Thamel. Is that how you pronounce his name?
Thamel.
Pete Thamel. He just posted a column of winners and losers from this year's coaching carousel.
I think it's actually Thamel.
It's Thamel.
Pete Thamel.
Thamel.
Thames?
Thames.
Kelly Thames.
Yeah, Sam Swanee.
Boy, Kelly Thames hadn't got hurt if he'd have... Well, I'm not going to get into that. Go ahead.
Swansonite. That was way off.
So
way
what's
off.
He report? That's the bottom line here. What did he report? Well,
he's listing winners and losers of the coaching carousel. Kansas State listed as a loser. This is what he wrote.
What?
Bill Snyder still appears to be clinging to the dream of passing the program on to his son. This has gone from selfish to sad to toxic, as the entire administration at Kansas State is ready for a change. But Snyder, 78, is still living in nepotism fantasy land that his son Sean is qualified to take over. That's hurt the program, which is 20-16 the last three seasons and lacks an identity nationally outside of mediocrity and uncertainty. Every year, Snyder stays and tries to bully the handoff to his son, further tarnishes his legacy. This is the anti-Frank Beamer succession. For example, with offensive coordinator Dana Demmel gone to take the UTEP job, what qualified offensive coordinator would want to work under these conditions? It will be interesting to see if Kansas State administrators have the collective guts to engage with Snyder about his departure after Kansas State's bowl game on December 26th. Snyder has had a great run, as his accomplishments can't be overstated, but he's completely unaware of how bad this whole situation looks or simply doesn't seem to care. That's Pete Thamel.
Thamel. You're wrong about that.
Look, I think that a lot of K-State, and I look, trying to say that all K-State fans feel the same way, that's silly. Not everybody feels the same way about anything. I think a lot of K-State fans do feel concern over this struggle that's taking place.
Because they don't want Sean Snyder to be the next coach?
I haven't heard one person who wants Sean Snyder to be the coach.
Well, there's one named Bill Snyder.
Bill Snyder, right?
Right. I'm talking about the people I know that are K-State supporters, fans. Not a single one that would be like, you know what? This guy shouldn't get a chance. Not a single person.
Who's your best friend that's a K-State fan?
JD.
What does JD say?
He was devastated when that Leavitt news came out because he loved the thought of Jim Leavitt coaching waiting.
What about Sean Snyder? Is he like dead set against it, or is he open
minded? I think the fact that he hasn't ever coached a position, let alone be a head coach anywhere, I think most people would be on board if he went somewhere and had some success and then came back. I think people would probably be accepting to that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is like, dude, just go take a MAC job and win for a couple years, and everybody'd be on board.
What if he's learning everything that he needs to know about the specific job in Manhattan at K-State that's different than everything else, and he knows what it takes to
succeed. I don't know
that
he's ever worked outside of K-State in his life.
Right, but why
would 2 years being a coach somewhere else take all that away? I don't know.
I don't want to speak for K-State fans, but I think it's like, prove it. Let's see it.
Right.
And then let's talk.
Well, and also there's things that happen when you become a head coach that cross your desk that you never thought about before. You know, I mean, it's one thing to be the head coach in waiting. It's another thing to be a head coach. I don't know. Maybe he'll be great. I don't know. Maybe, you know, but
I told when he turned 18, I told Richie, my son, that it was my plan to turn the show over to him when I was ready to retire. And he immediately said, no, I don't like that show.
So, well,
good self-awareness.
Yeah.
I mean, that was painful, but at least now I know. So yeah. I'm going to try to pass this. Phil has also declined, so now I'm going to give this to the twins.
Right.
And so my twin daughters will be hosting this show sometime in about...
2030?
2032.
Okay.
Yeah.
So plan accordingly. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I'd produce that show.
Yeah. I will say this.
A lot of Jonas Brothers.
You know, they talk about K-State falling to mediocrity. And maybe this is just me coming from the KU fan perspective.
Here we go. Settling for this, K-State fans.
I would die to be 7-5. You know, and I know that the expectations were a little bit higher than 7-5 for K-State this year. They were supposed to finish third in the conference according to the preseason polls, but you know, they finished in a four-way tie for fourth place. They went 5-4 in the league. They were above 500 in the league. They went 7-5. They're going to a bowl game. I mean, you could do a hell of a lot worse.
But a lot of people thought that they had a chance to contend for the Big 12 championship.
And the quarterback got hurt.
But then the better quarterback played, so that was weird.
I guess he's a freshman, you know, and he's coming back.
And he's better though.
He is, and who knows? K-State could be better next year.
Guess what? Freshmen can play in college football. It's a new deal that a lot of great teams.
I understand,
right?
But they did have it. There were high expectations for Jesse Ertz going into the season.
That's fine.
That's all. I mean, it wasn't like it was insane for Snyder to start him. I don't know.
It's not, but Skylar Thompson's better. So go ahead.
That's a good sign for K-State
sure
next
it is.
Year. You know,
it absolutely is. I mean, I'd be thoroughly excited because we talk about the two most important things in college football. Clearly, the coach and the quarterback. Yeah. Well, they got the quarterback.
I feel like that's a pretty strongly worded blurb from Pete Thamel.
Thamel.
I don't know that I would go that strong. I would say this. Well, Bill Snyder is one of the greatest coaches in the history of the sport, as far as I'm concerned. And I do think this is tarnishing his legacy a little bit. I don't know how much, but a little bit. And I do think that at the end of the day, I would like to implore someone like Bill Snyder that you want your kids to accomplish things based on their own merit, not because you paved a path for them. In my opinion, it's easy to say that, look, I haven't had to deal with the challenges of my son being an adult yet or anything like that, but obviously we all want to set our kids up for the best opportunity for success, but at some point, they've got to create their own success, and that's what would make you the proudest as a parent, and I just, it's a dangerous thing that's going on there, and I'm surprised at how many K-State fans I've seen that are really starting to get angry with Bill Snyder. And I never would have thought that, considering what... I mean, that program was in danger of extinction when he took it over. And it's a legit program that a good coach would want to take over.
If Kansas... You know? If the head football coaching position was open in Kansas, would you be interested in Sean Snyder?
Wouldn't even consider it.
Wow. All right.
I'm sorry.
That's a legitimate question.
Yeah, it's a fair question. But I mean, what other Division I job in a Power 5 conference would he even be considered for? Because if Kansas wouldn't consider you, I mean, it seems like nobody would because it's, you really can't get any lower right now.
UTEP is considered the worst job in Division I, and they hired Dana Dimmel, the offensive coordinator, but Dana Dimmel's been a head coach before. So
it's considered the worst job.
They were discussing that. What show was it on? Was it on the program or Between the Lines? Or what's the name of the nighttime show here?
Sports Night.
Is it?
I think so.
TJ Carpenter?
No, he's not here anymore, man.
He gone.
When did he leave?
Exactly. Are you kidding? What?
Are you kidding me?
The UTEP was 0-8 this year.
Who told you that?
Western Division of the Conference USA.
Hold on.
You make some phone calls?
Where's TJ?
Who are you talking to?
Stop it.
No.
We're due for a break.
No. No, I don't answer my emails. All right. I'm sorry. Gotta go to break. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol and Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's a big surprise for everyone here on the Border Patrol this morning. We've already had Jake in his award-winning Australian accent
give
an update. You see the fight's
bloody
over.
Well, Roy.
Did you see the fight's over? Can you? I just retweeted. Can you at least read my retweet or the final result of the fight in Australia for the people that have been waiting patiently? They are very loyal. Will not did not watch the fight. They'd rather watch us on 38 The Spot. So
hold on. I gotta start. What's your Twitter handle? I gotta start following you.
It's SSJWHB. Or really any anyone that's tweeted out the results, but I retweeted Dan Rayfield from ESPN.
Yeah,
let's go down to the final results, Nate. I know you're very excited about this down in Australia. Let's hear what Jake has to say.
Jeff Horn busts up Gary Corcoran to retain his welterweight belt by the 11th round TKO.
Oh,
pretty good fight. Nice to see live boxing on ESPN when you wake up.
How about that?
Hashtag Horn Corcoran.
I like you.
Weird thing to announce.
Yeah. Hashtag.
I like he says the hashtag.
Hashtag.
So there you go. Jeff Horn now advances to get his ass beat by Bud Crawford coming up in March or April. And I will thoroughly
be humble about it.
Enjoy watching that. You'll know now for the next 4 months, you'll Jeff Horn talk about how he's better than Mayweather, how he's the best fighter in the world. And countdown to March or April begins now. So, I told you, another surprise. I was unaware of this. Nate brought in a special prop today. He said that he's going to do, I don't know what he's going to do. He brought in what he calls dunkers. I don't know what the hell that means. And he said on the show, he's going to make one disappear. And so we gave him this opportunity. Nate, several ways you can do this. How you gonna make a dunker disappear?
Take the lid off my coffee right there.
That's not what you said. Let's see.
It's called a dunker for a
reason. No. Nate Bucadian's dunkers. How else could you
delicious
do that? So let's watch Nate eat food and remind you could eat food. I could watch you eat food at Pega's Family Restaurant, and that takes place today. I'll be there from 11 until 1. And two remaining dunkers will make those disappear with Kyle from Promotions. I've got a.
We do have two interns in here.
Jake's got a couple of suggestions on how we could make those dunkers disappear with Kyle.
I was told that's hazing, though.
Yeah. You know what? I'm glad to see you've grown. You've taken several steps forward. Then many backwards.
Have you seen
also.
The price of insurance these days? Yeah. I can't lose this job.
Also, I'd like to. This has been an interesting week for me, an exciting week, because I was asked by the two schools that I graduated from to speak at events. I'm speaking at a honors graduate luncheon on Friday at UMKC. I don't know how far down the list they got to where they said, let's just call him an esteemed alum and go with it. No one will ask any questions. But I'm going to do that, and I'm taking with me Steve St. John Sr., because Steve St. John Sr. was unavailable when I graduated college. He was unavailable to attend. For some reason, they would not let him leave the beautiful confines of Leavenworth for his son's college graduation, so perhaps this will make it up to him. He's going to be there with me, and I'm not even sure what's going to happen, really. But I'm excited to bring him with me.
I kind of want to go.
Right.
It's kind of like bringing muscle with you.
Right. That's true. That's a whole other.
I kind of want to be there.
You're invited. But last night I had a chance to speak at an event at St. Pius the 10th for with Coach Rick Byers, head football coach there, who I love Coach Byers. He coached my son Richie in football. My other son Phil is a freshman there. Coach Byers coached me in wrestling, and as I brought up last night, because of certain circumstances at one point for half a semester, he taught a dance class that I was enrolled in for some reason at St. Pius, trying to get that an easy elective out of the way, and mm-hmm. some things happened, and the original dance teacher did not finish the semester because there were several people like me that had signed up for the class, and it maybe wasn't exactly the teaching experience that she had envisioned, and so Coach took that over, but I had a chance to speak with Tommy Cascone, and Anthony Simone and some great people from St. Pius X and their booster club, and talking about all the great things going on at St. Pius. So thank you to my alma mater for having me back last night to speak. He had the family there, ate some delicious food from Cascone's, by the way. Oh, boy.
Oh, man. Love that place.
Oh, boy. They said they love you, Nate.
They didn't say that. My name actually didn't even come up.
It did. Because Tommy Cascone watches the show for some reason. He says, say hello to the boys. He likes watching the show. And so I'm always stunned and very unsure of why anyone watches this, but thank you.
They watch it for the dunkers.
Well, not what was promised from Nate, but that's fine. He still made one disappear. We've got some reaction from Andy Reid yesterday. More questions about Marcus Peters that Andy loves to answer. I think he wants to have more press conferences just to answer questions about Marcus Peters.
No, he doesn't.
I think that's what he'd like to do.
I think you're being sarcastic.
And we'll also hear from Chiefs defensive lineman Chris Jones, who had a good game against the Raiders as the Chiefs prepare to take on the Chargers with the AFC West title on the line Saturday night at Arrowhead Stadium. We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Thank you very much for watching us on 38 The Spot. We'll try to do better tomorrow. Don't expect better results, but
I guess I can start with turning that TV on behind you.
Whatever.
Maybe.
Pegas Family Restaurant today, K7 and Johnson Drive. Come and see me. All the dinner platters that are normally $12 are just $5 at Pegas, all four locations. Keep listening to the show now on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I love you.